LP.
Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member supported.
KXFM
on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
Well, look where we find ourselves. 8:01 the time on a beautiful, magnificent Laguna Beach Wednesday morning. Welcome to the Mornings with Ed show. As we do each and every Wednesday, we welcome the president and CEO. And I got to say this, the award-winning president and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert. Welcome into the studio today, Laureen.
Thank you, Ed. It's so nice to be here live in person.
It is so much better.
It's been years.
Yes, quite literally. But the last time you and I sat across from each other and did this, we've had you in for takeover. But the last time we sat across and did this, it's been at least 2 years.
Yes, it has.
Yeah. Well,
so
welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Welcome and great to see you. And you immediately spoke to my heart this morning. Who did you bring in?
I brought in Chobe, my sweet little Havanese dog.
Oh, she's magnificent.
She's our greeter at the office. We go straight from here right into the office. So I had to bring her along so she could be there for the day.
And no kidding. And when you meet a new client, there can't be a better icebreaker.
Oh, they love it. All
right,
they love it.
This was the perfect.
She is. She's the greeter.
Yeah, right on. Well, welcome in this morning. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
You and I have been over there. By the way, and I'm going to say this, and I always introduce you as the award-winning president and CEO. There's something else now. You made what is the Forbes list you made?
It's the top women advisor list from Forbes. And so I'm excited to be on that list and one of the best in state.
Right.
And so I'm very...
But big congratulations to you.
You.
That is a huge achievement.
That's
it's
exciting.
A great, yes.
Yeah,
and to make that list is huge. And I don't know if our listeners know, you're quite modest. You're quite modest. So I had to drag that out of you.
Well, thank you.
Right on. So you and I, over the last several weeks, really the last several months, have been discussing inflation. And you knew it was coming. You warned us about it a little bit.
Right.
We were at, I believe, 7% at one point, and that's where we're still at, hovering in that area. When will the U.S. get back down to 2%? Do you see that happening?
Well, you know, it's up for debate, Ed. There's a lot of discussions about inflation. We're of the camp that it's going to moderate from the peak where we are now. We think we're at peak inflation right now, that will start coming down, especially that PCE number. And what happens with PCE is that incorporates substitutes that consumers make. So let's say you go to the grocery store and you're trying to decide between buying, I'm thinking Coca-Cola versus Pepsi.
Right.
And one is more expensive than the other.
Right.
You'll make a substitute when you're worried about inflation.
Right.
So PCE incorporates substitutes. I think we're going to see PCE start to really moderate.
Okay.
I do not think we're going back to 2%. So we're not going back to 2%. But hey, if we get to 2.5%,
right,
that would be great. That's not going to happen anytime soon. But over the next year, I expect that number to start coming down, down, down. Certain areas of inflation are going to be sticky.
Okay.
But other areas will start to come down.
Okay. And you mentioned the choice between Coke and Pepsi. At that point, I think I'd just go with the one that says Cola.
There you go. That's a good substitute.
Yeah, give me a 12-pack for 40 cents. All right, I'll take that.
Yeah.
A lot of people, and I don't know if you have one or not, a lot of people over the last couple of years did the Peloton craze.
I have a Peloton, and I love it.
Okay, I'm sure you do.
I love my Peloton.
And how long have you had it?
I bought it during the pandemic.
Right.
I was one of those pandemic buyers because I was used to going out to the gym and doing various things and then felt like I couldn't do that in the middle of COVID. And now I enjoy it. I don't want to go back to the gym.
Right. So the company itself, what's happened? It seemed like, okay, well, we have a market. We have people that want us. We're everywhere. Everybody knows about us. What happened to Peloton?
Well, Peloton is a stock, right, is different than, you know, me as a consumer saying, yeah, I love my Peloton, right? That's not saying I'm saying that somebody should buy that stock, right? Very different. But what I will say is Peloton was symbolic for the lockdown during COVID and what happened to stocks during that lockdown. is people invested money in those companies that would do really well during a lockdown.
Right.
So it ran the stock up to an really overvalued situation.
Okay.
And then as we reopened, those same stocks like Peloton came way down from their highs. Now, those same stocks are takeover possibilities. Those are merger and acquisition opportunities for larger companies. So now we're hearing how Apple, Nike, there's a number of companies that are interested in buying Peloton because that valuation has come way down.
Right.
Those larger companies have the cash to purchase a company like Peloton. Okay.
So in the end, it may actually work out for them.
Well, I think it will work out for them, but who it's not going to work out very well are those investors that bought that stock
at the peak, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. And you're keeping yours no matter what. You're keeping your personal
Peloton. Oh, I'm keeping my Peloton. That's for sure.
We won't see garage sales with Pelotons for $50 anytime soon. You mentioned Apple and the larger companies. Wall Street wasn't kind to Netflix when they released their results just recently. Is the same thing in store for Disney Plus?
Okay. So what I'll say is it's that same story in the companies that did really well during the lockdown. The other side of this story is what's happening during earnings season is that companies that miss anything in their call and they don't give enough positive guidance, those companies are being hammered.
Okay.
Netflix being one, Meta, Facebook being another. So those companies, if you don't hear stellar news, are being hit. Now, let me tell you what companies are doing really well after earnings calls. Those are companies that have been able to navigate inflation, pass along price increases to the consumer, i.e. companies like Chipotle, we just heard, passing along those price increases. So companies that are successful in doing that, those are the companies that have been rewarded after earnings calls.
Right. And Chipotle, it seems that they've been passing those prices. It's almost unnoticeable. It's just tiny incremental increases in everything.
Are you shopping at Chipotle?
I'm not.
Are you at Chipotle?
I'm hearing things. Right, yeah. Oh, but I did want to mention this, and it's really funny that we were talking about inflation and the grocery store earlier. Whereas a few weeks ago or several weeks ago, I was able to buy cooking oil. Let's just say regular vegetable oil and the bottle of vegetable oil.
Right.
$1.99 everywhere else. It was $5. So I'm thinking that $5 is the new dollar. $5 is the new price point.
Well, you heard that the dollar store now not only has dollar items, but they've now ventured. They still have their dollar items.
Right.
But they ventured into other items, $2, $3, $4, $5 or whatnot. I don't know how high they go. I am a dollar store. I love the dollar store. I actually do.
Everyone
love
does. What is it? What is the attraction?
It's so amazing. I don't know. Anyway, I like to go to the dollar store.
Yeah.
So
I swear if there was one person I'd be shocked to see at the dollar store. You will
see me there.
All right, dark glasses, the scarf.
No,
You're just ready. You're rolling. You're rolling through the dollar store. A big cart full of stuff. So the largest semiconductor deal on record happened to fall through just day before yesterday or something. Why did that happen? And what does it mean to the current semiconductor shortage that we're experiencing?
Yeah, well, it's the NVIDIA ARM deal, and that's the one that is falling through. And so what it means not so great for NVIDIA and a better situation for companies like AMD. So other companies, it's not great for the United States, once again, because of NVIDIA being a US-based firm, but other companies like AMD, which are Taiwanese-based, it's a better thing for them. So as well as, they're trying to both, Intel's trying to keep their place and they lost some ground. So not so great for some of the U.S. companies, okay. But we like, you know, the semiconductor space because, as we've seen during the lockdown, during the pandemic, we can't really function globally in our economy without semiconductors. And, you know, frankly, most people didn't even know about semiconductors, right?
They didn't have a clue of how important it is in our lives.
Everybody learned how important it was and how the car industry, I mean, look, it's still very difficult to get a new car, and used car prices have been soaring. Right. By the way, though, we've seen a rollover there. The Manheim used car index has started to go down. So a little bit of good news for consumers.
So it did plateau and it's on its way down.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if that's a continued trend, but it very well could be as things start to ease.
All right. And you mentioned the fact that the deal got quashed and it was the biggest deal. It got quashed because of international regulations. Do you foresee them restructuring to get in under the Y, to get in under that bar?
Not sure if that's going to be possible or not. Okay. And so, you know, it's a reminder how regulations impact business.
Right.
And so, and you can't get away from those international regulations, and different regions of the world have their issues. You know, just like I was talking about with, you know, thinking about AMD in Taiwan, there is the concern about China invading Taiwan.
Right.
And if that happens, that could affect that part of the semiconductor industry. So, you know, international relations do impact stocks.
China's keeping an eye on what we're doing in Europe with the Russian invasion, the Russian potential invasion. So, household debt. And the number is just a big number to me. So I'm wondering if you feel that same shock when you hear it. Household debt jumped by $1 trillion in 2021. What does that number tell you?
Yeah. Well, it does sound like a lot of debt, but what I will tell you from a consumer standpoint is the consumer is incredibly healthy. And the reason is if you look at the chart of savings and how much cash people have on hand, it's also at its heightened. It's at a peak. So the consumer is healthy. And what you really want to look for is that debt ratio that the consumer has. And so even with the increased debt, their ratios are still very healthy. So I'm not worried about the consumer. The consumer still has money to spend.
Okay. You still have the old rule. You want to keep your debt ratio at right around 25% and under, right? You want to keep all your cards. You don't want to max out your cards. You want to stay at under 25%.
In other words, to keep your credit scores high and to also make sure you're not getting into financial trouble. And ultimately, you want to pay off debt every month. Right. And the only debt you really want to hold is, you know, ongoing debt would be a mortgage,
maybe
a car, but
rules I learned at home and keep with me forever to this day. You
That's
know, stay,
good.
Stay under that 25 percentile, Ed.
Yeah.
All right. So we all thought that Omicron this past month in January would make for a miserable January jobs report, and it didn't. Why?
It didn't. No. And we also had revisions back from November and December. So
right.
Were higher.
Right. We thought we had really weak numbers, and December was like 131,000 or something, but revisions were up to 700,000 for both of those months.
Yeah.
Why didn't Omicron have more of an effect on January?
Well, I think that people are finally just going back to work and, you know, there's no more extended government stimulus. So more and more people are going back to work. And the other thing is, you know, the labor market is tight and lots of job opportunities. People are bouncing around from job to job. So, look, it makes for a healthy economy. We're you know, 4% unemployment. That's a low number.
Right.
So we're doing pretty well when it comes to the labor markets. Now, that's what the Fed was looking for before starting the tapering of the purchases and increasing rates. And we have it. So, you know, it's now going to be time to raise rates because we now have employment where it needs to be.
Right. And if you add those job numbers to the S&P's fourth quarter earnings report that was up 25%, Is the economy actually booming now? Would you consider it a booming economy?
Yeah, so we are expecting that we're going to have another earnings growth season of the fourth quarter of above 25%. And if that is true, that'll be the fourth quarter of 25% earnings growth. That is an incredible number. Yeah. So that speaks to very healthy companies. Now, we also think we've seen peak earnings growth.
Right.
So now that number may start coming down, but still from 25% earnings growth year over year, even if that comes down, we're still looking at very healthy earnings growth.
Okay. And last week we started talking about tax season. You came up with some just beautiful, brilliant, common sense things for tax season and investors. When you talk to investors during tax season, what are their most common mistakes?
Common mistakes would be that they miss every taxpayer. And this is something new in the most recent tax reform. Everyone can deduct $300 of charitable donations, even if they don't itemize. So what changed is in order to get, you know, more deductions, you have to itemize, and fewer people are itemizing because the standard deduction was increased.
Right.
But everybody can deduct $300. So, hey.
Just a flat 300.
Flat 300. So, you know, there's donations for the radio station,
right.
Any nonprofit, people can donate up to $300. So that's one common mistake that I see. Another one is that they just make mistakes with the numbers. And so it would be a good idea to have either a CPA or some kind of company or somebody else give a second set of eyes over those tax returns just to see, you know, are you getting all your deductions? Are you adding and subtracting correctly? So that tends to be a common mistake. And then another one would be not understanding that you have to report any kind of dividends, capital gains, all of those 1099s that you receive,
right.
You have to report those on your tax return.
Right.
So it's important to look for all those numbers and make sure you collect
right.
all of those numbers in order to report them
so,
on your taxes.
So an investor has a different CPA doing their taxes. You still kind of want to take a look at it, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
you're signing that. Oh, you're saying...
Right, they want you to take a look at
yeah,
it. Right?
Yeah, so I do, you know, our team, we look at investors' tax returns before they file. We ask to look at that because we want to look at it from an investment standpoint and make sure that they're not missing something. And oftentimes, we do catch some kind of error that's in there, or at least we're asking the questions. Have you recorded this? Another common mistake that I see with our clients is that we use donor advice funds. So the DAF, donor advice fund,
okay.
where people can put money in the DAF and then from there they give it to charity. So there you have one stop, it goes into their donor advice fund. Well, oftentimes they'll forget to give the CPA that number of how much they put in the donor advice fund because as soon as you put money in there, it's deductible in that year. Even if you don't then send it to a charity till for another year, it's deductible in the year that you made the contribution.
Because you've already set it aside.
Yeah.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
That's excellent. This hour of the Mornings with Ed show is, of course, brought to you by Wealthwise Financial Services. And you just heard wealth management redefined, man. I am so glad you came in this morning, first
Thank
of all.
Thank you. Great to see you. Great to be here.
Other than finding you here now on a regular basis, where do our listeners find you?
WealthwiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
And I have an idea. Why don't you and I head out to Chipotle and then we'll go to the dollar store
exactly.
and we'll make a day of it.
I love it.
All right.
That's great. Thank you.
Laureen, thank you. Thank you once again. Laureen Gilbert, President, CEO, Wealthwise Moment, and you're the award-winning president. Thank you very much. Congratulations. 8:21 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show.